So we'll be going through parables predominantly in Luke. Our Wednesday night Bible study, when it starts back, we'll be looking at the parables before Sunday, and then we'll be studying them at youth group as well. So I'll send out a list and invite you to study along and live with these parables before you come to church on Sunday. Luke 6, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on a rock. And when a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To try and think about and put this parable into an image that works for us, that kind of answers, so what does that look like in my life and your life? I thought about the structure for Coca-Cola as Nate and I met with Don Yates, and we looked at Coca-Cola's current corporate values. And even on one website, it says, hey, if you're looking to work at Coke, here are the qualifications you need to have. And I thought, well, if these are what you need to have to work at Coke, perhaps they're what you need to have to be a follower of Christ and what it looks like to have a foundation built on the rock. So the first thing, the qualification that Coca-Cola wants is Coca-Cola wants people who are curious, keep seeking, never settle. Staying curious about what's outside and two steps ahead inspires us to challenge the status quo. Having the courage to look and leap is the way we grow, because asking what if pushes us to the next level as people and as a company. Curiosity, that's not what you think of normally for when you think about Coca-Cola. That may not be the first value that comes to mind, or certainly for us in the church or being built on a foundation, we don't think about curiosity. However, to be this guy or gal who built their house on the rock, you got to do some digging. You got to dig deep to find that foundation. You got to be curious about, why do some houses fall over and why do some not? You got to be curious about what happens when you dig down deep. What's under that ground? What's under the surface level of just what we normally think? Churches, when we get in trouble, we either do one of two things. We either follow tradition, or we do what is contemporary, trendy. Either trendy or traditional, but neither one of those require curiosity. That's just imitating what people used to do or what other people are doing. But to be curious means you have an imagination. Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all that will ever be to know and understand. Socrates said, wisdom begins in wonder. If you can imagine what Wilbur and Orville Wright wanted to do, they crashed a lot. So in essence, they want to know what's it like to crash, and figured out that crashing was the way to learn to fly. Alexander Graham Bell was tired of being in the dark, but he had to spend a lot of time in the dark to be able to figure out how to turn on a light. Neil Armstrong wanted to be the first person to walk on the moon, but you have to leave your comfort zone. And I love what Alice said in Alice in Wonderland. She said, well, Carol said about it, for you see, so many out-of-the-way things had happened lately that Alice had begun to think that very few things indeed were really impossible. That curiosity, it gets us out of the norm and helps us dig deep to find what else is there. So that's a first step for somebody who wants to build a house on the rock. Coca-Cola wants people who are empowered. They believe they can make it happen. Empowerment is the result of taking responsibility. This means giving yourself permission to see it, say it, and do it, and owning the outcomes, because we move forward and faster when we all take action. We don't know if the person who built their house on the rock, that this was their fourth or fifth house. But we are pretty confident that for that person, if their houses had been washed away, they said, I can build it better next time. The person whose house had been built on the sand, didn't really understand the connection between a foundation and the house getting washed away, so it probably blamed the weather, it probably blamed somebody else, it probably blamed the lumber or the people who supplied. They weren't empowered. You have to be empowered to be able to dig down to understand that your actions can create a reality. And that power is phenomenal because possibility and empowerment go together. And that's where you have to learn that you are a possible person. I love this, and I try and tell this at least once a year, but about Billy who went and they asked in second grade class, what does everybody want to be? Some people want to be a fireman, some people want to be an astronaut or a nurse or a doctor. And they finally went around the class and they said, well, Billy, what do you want to be? And he said, I want to be possible. The teacher said, why? What do you mean possible? So, well, everybody says to me, Billy, you're impossible. So when I grow up, I want to be possible. Empowered is that you understand that your actions can create your reality. And so not only do you need to have curiosity that can imagine the world a certain way, but you have to have the ability to believe that you are possible. And as Kierkegaard said, the trick in life is what we emphasize. We either make ourselves miserable or we make ourselves happy. The amount of work is the same. True of that bird parable. There are a lot of miserable little whiny little birds on that line, and then the other guy was just happy. Whether he was upside down or right side up, it was all his power to be happy. Think about it. Next thing to work at Coke. Coke wants people who are version 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, meaning they push for progress, not perfection. Don had to explain to me. I said, what does it mean, 1, 2, 3? Oh, no, 1.0, 2.0, 3. You're constantly looking to grow, to be better. But again, that's not that you've arrived. We often think about church as a place you've arrived. You go to church, yes. Okay, now you go home. It's the journey. You don't grow up and go to school. You go to school and grow up, whether it's kindergarten or college. You didn't arrive at grown up and then you go. No, you go and grow up. You don't grow up and get married. You get married and, well, maybe you grow up or maybe you don't, but it becomes... And if you're going to be a parent, as soon as I get a handle on a certain age group, they're going to the next one, and they didn't wait on me. Or to Morocco. And I just keep saying, please come home. Perfection has nothing to do with being human. Plato was the guy who said there's a such thing as a perfect horse, a perfect chair, a perfect person. His student Aristotle wanted to have tenure and wanted his teaching position, and when he didn't get it, he was very sad. And he went out and he touched a tree and realized there is no perfect tree because it's an organism. Trees are different. But what he talked about was not perfection, but potential. And he said, and the word was telos, that in an acorn has the potential of an oak tree. And that's power, because that's growth. So if you ever think you've arrived, then you stop growing. Because every stage requires a new level of understanding. A 3.0, a 4.0. And it's not about machines. It's about learning how to be you at a new stage on a new part of the journey. And then you get a sense of what matters. That's where that potential is. That's why Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You have to keep growing in all those potentials. The next thing Coca-Cola wants is people who are inclusive and include and value and trust others. We're smart alone, but together we're genius. This means being inclusive, given the benefit and doubt of being responsible for each other, because for our company to thrive in the next 100 plus years, smart isn't enough. We need genius. Well, in the church, we've kind of dumbed down on inclusivity, and we've been more homogeneous. If you want to understand why America was founded, it wasn't so the Puritans could come and worship as they wanted to. It was so they could come and worship with people who did everything exactly like they do. And that's why we have so many Protestant churches. Is people get mad and they protest and go and try and form another homogeneous group until somebody gets mad and comes up with a new idea, and then they form another one and another one and another one. The Catholics just sit around and wait for 100 years or so and see what sticks. We're protesters. We don't grow, we just keep protesting. But to be inclusive means you take time and you're not threatened by an idea that's different than yours. Think about it. So, Clarence Jordan tells of a church in the South in the 1950s. And he went, and this preacher stepped into the pulpit, and he was shocked to see how large the congregation was and that it was thoroughly integrated. So he asked the hillbilly preacher, said, how did you get a church that's integrated here in the South? Was it the Supreme Court's decision about segregation? He said, Supreme Court? No, what's the Supreme Court got to do with what we do as a church? He said, well, the preacher left the small church, and I went to the deacons, and I said, I'll be the preacher. And the first Sunday, I opened up the book, and I read, as many of you have been baptized into Jesus, put on Jesus like clothes, there's no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, because you are all as one in Jesus. And I closed the book, said, if you one with Jesus, you one with all kind of folks, and if you ain't, you ain't. And so, well, what happened after you preached that? He said, well, the deacons got together and they told me they didn't like to hear that kind of preaching anymore. And Clarence Jordan said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, I fired them deacons. He said, well, how come they didn't fire you? He said, well, they never hired me, so how could they fire me? And he said, I preached that church down to about four people. And after that, everybody kind of wanted to be like that, so it started growing and growing. People who couldn't get in before now could get in. That's the gospel. That diversity makes us genius. Karl Barth said this, the church exists to set up in the world a new sign which is radically dissimilar to the world's own manner and which contradicts it in a way which is full of promise. Lastly, Coca-Cola wants people who are resilient, thriving in high stakes. Sustainability, performing with stamina and consistency under pressure and at pace, continuously coping with the pressure, scrutiny, and sacrifice of owning ultimate responsibility of outcomes. Think about how many failures that the people we know about their successes had. Abraham Lincoln started a business in 1831 and failed. He ran for legislature in 1832 and lost. He started another business in 1836 and failed, ran for election in 1840 and lost, ran for Congress in 1843 and 48 and lost, ran for Senate in 1855 and lost, and then he lost for a run in the Vice President in 1856 and then again for the Senate in 1858. And you wonder why he got out of bed. And then when he wins the presidency, the whole thing falls apart. But because of Lincoln, because he stayed at it, we don't say the United States are anymore, we say the United States is. Unity can only be found through that kind of drive. Thomas Edison, he said that people said he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive, and he made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb, and when a reporter asked, how'd it feel to fail 1,000 times, he didn't hear of it. He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. He said, I haven't failed. I just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Henry Ford went broke 5 times before he succeeded. He said, failure is the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. Walt Disney was fired by a newspaper editor because he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. Winston Churchill failed the 6th grade. He was defeated in every election for public office until he became prime minister at the age of 62. And then, regarding failure, he said, never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never, 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 never give up. Albert Einstein didn't speak till he was 4 years old and didn't read till he was 7, and his parents thought he was subnormal. And one of his teachers described him as mentally slow, unsociable, and adrift forever in foolish dreams. He was expelled from school and was refused admittance to the Zurich Polytechnic School, but he did learn to speak and read and even do a little math. He said, it's not that I'm that smart, I just stay with the problems longer. The House on the Rock He dug down deep. May we be in that number. And may we hold a high enough standard so that not only might get us a job at Coke, but help us to claim as children of the kingdom that we are doing just as our Lord instructed. Let us pray. God, to be children of the kingdom is why we've come, why we've gathered, and why we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.